理课堂听 class.com。
Task 2. Listen to the following lecture on general tips for note-taking skills. Then work out an outline of a lecture. General tips for note-taking skills.
Note-taking is an important academic task that helps you both to remember what you have learned and to review materials for reuse in revision and assignments. General tips.It is important to determine which pieces of information in a lecture or reading are important and which pieces are not. The best way to do this is to be critical when you read or listen. Ask yourself if the information you're hearing is important, relevant, and credible. In other words, does the information demonstrate a major point? Does it relate to the subject matter?And is it believable or supported? When writing down notes, try to distinguish between facts, opinions, and examples. It is important to write down relevant facts. Facts are true statements that should be supported by research or evidence. It is also important to write down important, relevant, and educated opinions. For example,If the lecturer is giving a lecture that compares the ideas of different theorists, it would be important to write down a summary of each theorist's opinion in your notes. Lecturers and authors use examples to help explain difficult concepts and to maintain your interest. While you might find the examples interesting, it is not important to write down all the examples.You may like to write a reference to an example that was particularly interesting, or as a means of reminding you to do more research in a particular area. Rather than relying on the examples that the lecturer or author provides when reviewing your notes, try to think of your own examples.
When reading or listening, don't write out notes word for word. Notes should not be an exact copy of the lecture or reading.They should be a summary of the main ideas and should be used to help jog your memory. Use shortcuts that you will understand and that will make the writing process quicker. Abbreviations, e.g. instead of for example, symbols equals instead of equals, and drawings can sometimes help you take notes more quickly. Use font.Color and size to draw attention to important points. For example, you might like to use a different color pen to write down facts, opinions, and examples. You might use different writing sizes to indicate main points as being separate from supporting evidence. When making notes, print clearly where possible. If your writing is poor, use a word processor when reviewing your notes.Leaving spaces for handwritten diagrams and mind maps. Be critical of the material you are listening to or that you are reading. How does the material compare with what you have heard or read previously? Does the argument follow a logical pattern? And is it clear of false argument? Do you understand all of the points? And if not, where are the gaps? What questions are still unanswered for you?Why weren't those answered in the lecture or reading? Task 3. Listen to the following lecture on listening and note-taking. Then work out a map of the lecture. Active listening and note-taking. Active listening.
Good listening is the key to good note-taking. How can you be an active listener?Remember the three A's of good listening. Have a good attitude. Give the lecturer a chance. Do not be turned off by dress or remarks. Listen for the underlying message. You are there to learn. Give the speaker your attention. You can hear, condense, and write so much faster than a speaker can talk. Take advantage of that time difference to evaluate what you hear.Anticipate what will be said next and recap what has already been said. Remember the acronym EAR to remind you of this three-step technique to help you to concentrate and maintain your attention. Listen and look for the instructor's vocal, visual and postural clues. For example, material written on the board, handouts, repetition, emphasis words, gestures, to help you identify what is important. As you use your active listening skills, pay attention to how the lecturer organises his material. Does the lecturer give you a main idea first and then details leading to a main idea? Stay alert for organisational tools such as listing, chronological order, comparison contrast, problem solution, as ways material may be organised. Be a detective.
Note-taking. Why take notes? Notes provide a record to study for exams, help you remember the material for a longer period of time, and force you to be an active learner in the classroom. Good note-taking can be thought of in three steps: what you do before the lecture, during the lecture, and after the lecture. Before the lecture, always be prepared for class. You can check your syllabus for topics and requirements, thoroughly read the text chapter or do a survey or overview of the chapter, review notes from the previous lecture, and or write an outline, survey sheet of the chapter to take to class for comparisons with lecture material. During the lecture, once you prepare, be there, go to class, sit close to show you are interested and to help you stay that focused. Have an organized method of taking notes. Be sure to include examples. Note questions from the class, digressions, added information, a change in format, and so forth. Use abbreviations to help you quickly take notes. After the lecture. Once you have taken notes, be sure to look at them within 24 hours to fill in gaps or edit them. Write cues, words, phrases or questions in the left margin to summarize key points and help you test yourself later on your notes. Give visual emphasis, underline and mark your notes to make key points stand out. Write personal notes or questions to yourself in the right margin. For example, reminders to check gaps or tips from the professor. Study your notes within 24 hours, before your next class, and at the end of the week. These initial reviews will give you a strong start in exam preparation. All this active learning is hard work, but it will pay off. Part 4. Extensive listening. Task 1. Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. 1. Listen to the following report about Juliet Gordon-Low, and then choose the best answers to the questions below. Juliet Gordon-Low.
Most people do not know that Juliet Gordon-Low, the founder of the Girl Scouts of America, was deaf. She began to lose her hearing when she was 17 and became almost totally deaf in her adulthood. Juliet Gordon was born on October the 31st, 1860, in Savannah, Georgia. Her family and friends all called her Daisy. When she was 14, she was sent to a school in Virginia that was run by some of Thomas Jefferson's granddaughters. A few years later, at the age of 17, she transferred to a school in New York. Juliet married William Mackay Lowe, and they went to England to live. Juliet became interested in the Girl Guides Association there. She observed their meetings and was very impressed because the girls acquired many useful skills. They learned how to cook, knit, tie knots, and give first aid. They also learned about the history of the flag. Moreover, they developed important social skills as they learned how to work together. Juliet thought that girls everywhere should have this opportunity, so she decided to organize more troops. Juliet organized several Girl Guides troops in both England and Scotland. Since she could not do all the work herself, she had to ask other women to help her. Sometimes the women were reluctant to give their time due to family responsibilities. However, Juliet was a very determined woman. When the women refused, she would pretend that she didn't understand what they said. As a result, the women helped her in spite of being busy.
Juliet always persevered until she motivated others to help her with her goals. One encounter that required her persistence happened while she was in Scotland. She was walking along a road one day when she came to a stream. The only way across the stream was by a foot log, and Juliet was afraid to cross it alone. She was wondering what to do when she saw a peddler coming down the road. She told the peddler to go across the bridge first, and she would follow with her hand on his shoulder. Although the peddler started to protest, her stubborn insistence again paid off. He reluctantly led her across the footbridge. Once they were safely on the other side, the peddler explained to her that he was blind. When Juliet came back to America for a visit, she started the first Girl Guides troop in the country in her hometown, Savannah. By the time she went back to England 6 months later, there were 6 Girl Guides troops in Savannah. At that time, the girls each made their own uniforms. In 1913, the Girl Guides changed its name to the Girl Scouts. Juliet Lowe came back to Savannah that same year. She decided that there should be Girl Scout troops all over the United States, so she worked toward that goal. The first National Girl Scout Convention was held in Washington, D.C. on June 10th, 1915. 2. Listen to the report again, and then fill in the missing words or phrases. Juliet Gordon Lowe.
Most people do not know that Juliet Gordon Lowe, the founder of the Girl Scouts of America, was deaf. She began to lose her hearing when she was 17 and became almost totally deaf in her adulthood. Juliet Gordon was born on October the 31st, 1860, in Savannah, Georgia. Her family and friends all called her Daisy. When she was 14, she was sent to a school in Virginia that was run by some of Thomas Jefferson's granddaughters. A few years later, at the age of 17, she transferred to a school in New York. Juliet married William Mackay Lowe, and they went to England to live. Juliet became interested in the Girl Guides Association there. She observed their meetings and was very impressed because the girls acquired many useful skills. They learned how to cook, knit, tie knots, and give first aid. They also learned about the history of the flag. Moreover, they developed important social skills as they learned how to work together. Juliet thought that girls everywhere should have this opportunity, so she decided to organize more troops. Juliet organized several Girl Guides troops in both England and Scotland. Since she could not do all the work herself, she had to ask other women to help her. Sometimes the women were reluctant to give their time due to family responsibilities. However, Juliet was a very determined woman. When the women refused, she would pretend that she didn't understand what they said. As a result, the women helped her in spite of being busy.
Juliet always persevered until she motivated others to help her with her goals. One encounter that required her persistence happened while she was in Scotland. She was walking along a road one day when she came to a stream. The only way across the stream was by a foot log, and Juliet was afraid to cross it alone. She was wondering what to do when she saw a peddler coming down the road. She told the peddler to go across the bridge first, and she would follow with her hand on his shoulder. Although the peddler started to protest, her stubborn insistence again paid off. He reluctantly led her across the footbridge. Once they were safely on the other side, the peddler explained to her that he was blind. When Juliet came back to America for a visit, she started the first Girl Guides troop in the country in her hometown, Savannah. By the time she went back to England 6 months later, there were 6 Girl Guides troops in Savannah. At that time, the girls each made their own uniforms. In 1913, the Girl Guides changed its name to the Girl Scouts. Juliet Lowe came back to Savannah that same year. She decided that there should be Girl Scout troops all over the United States, so she worked toward that goal. The first National Girl Scout Convention was held in Washington, D.C. on June 10th, 1915. Task 2. Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. 1. Listen to the following passage and then fill in the chart below to work out an outline of the passage. Dealing with stress. Exercise.
Exercise is an important part of feeling good and dealing with life's challenges. Recent scientific research indicates that exercise may play an important role in functioning optimally at both mentally and physically. Because there are so many health benefits to vigorous exercise, you may want to consider incorporating some form of exercise into your daily schedule. The benefits of exercise. In recent years, evidence has accumulated demonstrating the effectiveness of exercise in maintaining a healthy body and mind. Regular exercise has been found to be effective in maintaining physical and mental fitness. Exercise may reduce depression, enhance self-esteem, and relieve anxiety. Regular exercise also has cardiovascular benefits. It lowers blood cholesterol levels, blood pressure, is ideal for weight loss, and helps reduce stress. Regular exercise may be helpful if you are feeling depressed. The Surgeon General's recent report stated that exercise is effective in dealing with depression. Numerous studies have shown that exercise alters mood and attitude. Both aerobic and non-aerobic exercise have been demonstrated to improve mood in men and women compared with those who did not exercise. Exercise may reduce anxiety. Anxiety often interferes with sleep and concentration. People who exercise regularly demonstrate less anxiety than their sedentary peers. Exercise produces a relaxation effect and a sense of well-being that can last for up to 4 hours after a workout. For college students, a well-planned exercise program can enhance performance and the enjoyment of school and personal activities.
Exercise, combined with good nutrition, can help with weight loss and maintenance. Weight loss improves physical appearance and enhances self-esteem, self-confidence, and a sense of well-being. It also offers the psychological benefits of looking and feeling healthy. Exercise helps burn fat even at rest and allows lean muscle tissue to develop. Keeping stress in check. Stress is the physical and mental tension you feel when you are faced with change. Stress can attack your self-esteem and lessen feelings of self-worth. Activities that allow your muscles to relax or that expends large amounts of physical energy can reduce stress. Controlling stress is an important part of success in school.